the Lord, and a warm welcome to each and every one who has come to gather to worship the Lord in this day and to share in the joy of a baptism of four precious souls. Also, I'd like to make everyone aware that after morning service, we plan to have a lunch, and everyone is welcome to join us. And then we'd like to begin afternoon service at 2 p.m. for members only, followed by dinner approximately 5:30, and all are welcome to come back for dinner, and then singing, Lord willing, this evening at 7 p.m. Also thankful to have our elder brothers with us this morning. Brother Paul Kosicki and Brother Matei Augustinov will be serving us from God's Word, Brother Paul in English and Brother Matei in Romanian. Let's keep these brothers in prayer as they would serve, and that the Lord's name would be honored and glorified by our coming together in worship of Him.
To start our service this morning, let's sing together from hymn 330, all three verses, and let's stand.
Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we are with grateful hearts before Thee. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast loved us so much, that Thou hast sent Thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that He may come on this earth and be that supreme sacrifice, that only His precious blood can atone us from our sins. And we are thankful for this day, Lord, that we have four precious souls that have confessed peace with Thee and forgiveness. And Lord, Thou hast been so gracious unto them. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful, and we rejoice today with the angels in heaven over these precious souls that they have given their lives unto Thee, O Heavenly Father. And we pray now as we would look into Thy holy word that You would speak to us. For there are many that are here present that have not made that decision. For whatever reason it is, Lord, Thou knowest the hearts of each and every one of us. We pray humbly that Thou would speak to us. We ask humbly that Thou would strengthen Thy weak servant as we would open Thy word, that Thy Holy Spirit may speak expressly and help us, O Lord, that our hearts would be opened and ready and with thanksgiving to receive this good, precious seed, Thy word. And help us, O Lord, we pray humbly that there would be an increase of fruit in our lives that would honor Thee and glorify Thee, for Thou art worthy. We pray now, Lord, bless us, we ask humbly. Strengthen us and be with us this day, for we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help and for the strengthening of our faith and for the encouragement that comes from God's word, and for all that are here that have not made that decision to follow God and to surrender your lives unto the Lord, we have scripture that can speak of the blessings of God that we have when we come to Him in faith and surrender all of our life unto Him. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to read out of Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, beginning to read chapter 1. Go ahead. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death had no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless the reading of the Holy Scripture. It is a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord and in the house of prayer. What a privileged people we are to be here and to have the opportunity to not only blend our voices to worship God in song, but also to give him glory and honor that belongs to him alone. And we are a blessed people to have the Word of God that is in front of us, that we were privileged to read. And the Scripture tells us that without faith, we cannot please God. And I believe that everyone that is here believes in God. At least I hope everyone here believes in God. But brothers and sisters, we have faith in God, and without faith, we can't please God. But we came in faith that we know that God is present with us. His Spirit is present with us because he has promised where two or three would gather in his name, that he would be present with us. And therefore, we had petitioned to the Lord to speak to us through the unction of the Holy Spirit, as Brother Eric had prayed. We want to speak those things that glorify God, and pray to the Lord that he would remove any intention of man's wisdom and intellect. But God's word is like that powerful word, a two-edged sword that cuts asunder and knows very well the needs of everyone here. We rejoice over the four souls that are present with us, and we are so thankful that God has been merciful unto your prayers and to your desires, and that he has heard your prayer. And as you expressed last night, loved ones, these precious souls expressed last night that they were in bondage to sin and they needed to be freed. They were in the miry clay, in the bottomless pit, that no one else was able to help them. But God knew where they were. God understood their condition. God knew very well where they were and their desire, because it was God's desire, and God's desire is today to reconcile us back to him, because he created us for him alone and for his own purpose. We're in fact created according to his own image. What an honor. What an honor, loved ones, that he created us according to his own image. We come before his presence knowing that he knows the very needs of our heart. Your servants do not know the needs of the heart, that is all the hearts that are here, but we know that God does. And therefore, scripture that we've opened today, I believe, speak to the confirmation of the believers who have died to sin and to themselves and have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and have been given by the Lord that desire to be baptized in the death of Christ, confessing that indeed they have died to themselves and to sin. They no longer have pleasure in the sins that they have committed. The moving thing for us, brothers and sisters, it was last night, and to our dear friends that are here today, the moving thing, and that just stirs our heart and in such a way that brings us so much joy, is to see the brokenness of the converted people, the converted souls, the brokenness. They confessed that they had no way out of their sinful life. And the Bible tells us, Prophet Isaiah tells us, that God loves us and that his hand is not shortened. In Isaiah 61, he says this: God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. 59, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Many speak and call out and say, well, God doesn't hear my prayers. He doesn't care about me. I never get anything from God. Well, the Lord says God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Is your ear opened? Is your heart opened? Is there genuine desire that God can change you and will change you? Words are cheap. You could say all you want that God doesn't hear me, but I can assure you, if you come to the Lord with a broken heart and a desire to have the Lord come into your life, that he may change your life, you will see that things will change for you. But you need to recognize your lost condition, my dear friend. These souls have recognized their lost condition, have surrendered themselves to God, admitting that they have no way out, and they need someone to intervene for them. They had said that they are heading for destruction, and ultimately, unrepented souls will end up in hellfire. The Bible tells us there is only two ways that man can live his life. One is the narrow way that leads to God. It's a difficult way, lots of resistance. It's ridiculed and mocked. But yet the grace of God holds our hands and leads us to salvation unto our Heavenly Father. And the other road is broad and smooth and wide, very casual, desirous, lots of pleasure, lots of promises, and at the end only we find out that we hit a dead end brick wall. Nothing there. My dear friend, outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, the Bible speaks to you. Do you recognize your lost condition? Do you recognize that you have the most severe sickness on planet Earth, and that is sin? There are so many severe sicknesses. It's devastating, takes lives of people. And that even the physicians, top-notch physicians today, they can't figure out certain diseases. Simply cannot figure out certain diseases. And they try every method, every medicine that we have. It cannot be that they just can't find a cure for certain diseases. And loved ones, what effort and what money is poured into research to find a medication to heal cancer that's devastating, that moves through the organs of the body quickly. We see our loved ones and how quickly they leave this earth, and God sparing them and having mercy upon them that they wouldn't suffer long. And yet how little emphasis is placed on from the world of sin that is in people's lives, that destroy people's lives, that remove them far away from the Creator. And even in that state, they feel and they're convinced of themselves that the path that they're on is the right path. And the understanding that they have about life, they're convinced that they know where they're going and what they're doing. And they don't need anyone to tell them what to do. We live in a world that everyone is a god for themselves. They worship themselves. The Creator is set aside. But we gathered this morning to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Not just by word, but by obedience in faith in God. The greatest sacrifice and the best sacrifice that we can give the Lord that pleases Him the most is our obedience to His word. We can give money to charities. We can do all things the Scripture tells us. We read in Corinthians 13 that we can burn our bodies. We can give everything. If we don't have the love of God, we have nothing. And God has given these precious souls, His beloved, His love, the first love, which you have received, my dear brothers and sister in the Lord. And I'm reminded of a passage in the Scripture that is so encouraging, of one being completely helpless and then the intervention of the Lord Jesus bringing him to a total cured state with the Lord's help as an encouragement. And this is such an encouragement to all of us, I believe. John, the apostle, writes this in chapter 5. He says, and he speaks about, there was a feast of the Jews at Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem by the sheep market there was a pool which was called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda pool, which had five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had or she had. And it says here, John records and says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Imagine 38 years in this place waiting for the moving of the water. And it seems that he couldn't get there quick enough because the others were better off than him. He couldn't get there quick enough. But 38 years in a situation that he could not change himself. And what is inspiring about this man is that he had faith if he was to enter into that water, he'd be healed. But no one was there to help him. In fact, every man for himself, when the moving of the water happened, every man for himself. And we have a beautiful, beautiful ending to this beautiful story. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. The man recognized that he had no one to help him. And Jesus knew his state. Jesus knew him. When came right up to him, Wilt thou be made whole? These precious souls, our dear brothers and sister, same was asked of them, wilt thou be made whole? And they said, yes, Lord. We turn our lives to you because we don't know how to free ourselves from this greatest sickness called sin that is worse than any disease on earth. The diseases that we experience on our bodies are temporal and they will eventually come to a close. But the disease of sin not only destroys our bodies, but it will destroy our soul. Jesus said, what will you give in exchange for your soul? If you gain the whole world, what will you receive? You will be separated from God, moved away from God. And we are given by God to be able to choose today. No one can force me. No one can convince me. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict me to such a conviction that I need to repent and that I am a sinner before God and that I need to change. But not I, but let the Lord change me. And the Lord is willing to heal your soul that you too could, like this man, be completely whole, that you can glorify God and praise Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Scripture tells us the love of God we cannot measure and we cannot fully understand today. With our feeble minds. But this is what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul, who was converted from within, and the manifestation of his conversion was so powerful that from that moment on, when he was on the way to Damascus, he was changed by God, chosen by God. And he praised God and worshiped God in spirit and in truth with boldness, with thanksgiving, with the tremendous gratitude, acknowledging fully well that nothing that he could have done could have given him salvation. He encourages the church in Ephesus, and he says this about the Lord and how he does things. He says, and you, the believers, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among also, we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the lust, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved through faith. And then that not of yourselves, for what? It is the gift of God. Not because we deserved it and because God owed us something. No, we deserve death. Our sins had put him on the cross. He took the sins of the world upon himself and died towards sin completely. And he resurrected in newness of life. Likewise, we will resurrect in newness of life as our dear brothers and sister will resurrect in the watery grave. The old nature, their old nature, will be baptized in the death of Christ. And they will arise from that watery grave as a new creature in Christ Jesus, in likeness of the Lord Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us can boast about our works. Our works are as filthy as rags. The righteousness that we attain is not because we deserved it. It's because of Jesus Christ, what he has done on the cross. He has given his life for us. His precious blood was shed. His body was broken. He was mocked. He was spat upon. Prophet Isaiah says that the Lord went through so many, that will go through so many things, not because he deserved it. He was the sinless Lamb of God. It's because man deserved death. Man in the Garden of Eden, our very first parents, were separated because of disobedience. And these precious souls were like that branch on the floor that was withered, no fruit at all, dead. You cannot take a branch that has been severed from the vine and try to recuperate it. It's gone. But in that state, the branch that didn't bring any fruit, Jesus took the branch and he engrafted us to the vine which he is. And immediately we were healed. Our broken heart was healed, transformed, given a new heart, a new outlook about life, a new mind, that we may serve the Lord and know his will. For what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Loved ones, the old nature of our brothers and sister, Lord willing, shortly we will witness the burial of the old nature. A confession that has been made that I've died to sin, that I've confessed my sins to the Lord. And it is God that forgives sins, that takes our sins and casts them in the depths of the sea, never to be mentioned again. It's important that we know that our enemy would like you to mention them again. It's important to know the enemy will bring to our attention, hey, you know, you were like this before. No one's going to see. Why don't you just taste a little bit more? We know the scripture tells us the old leaven is removed, but if we allow the old leaven to come into our lives, it will be devastating. As a matter of fact, the scripture teaches us a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That is why we have separation in the church of the Lord, in God's house, where severe sins, God forbid, are committed. The church is not given the right to reinstate. God can forgive all things, but that is God's jurisdiction, not the church's. Why? Why? Some view that as such a harsh judgment when there's repentance. God knows our heart. But God has given us something in our hearts, has blessed us with his Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit gives us strength that we can overcome all things if we're obedient, that no sin should have dominion over us if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's will is that it would lead us to this, through this world that we live in. It's treacherous. It's dangerous. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the price that has been paid that we can receive the Holy Spirit, we can't put a number on that. It is priceless. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died on the cross freely, that died on the cross freely because of us. And because he loved us so much. Paul encourages the church, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead towards sin is freed from sin. You're no longer in bondage. They are no longer in bondage to sin. Now, a question that always comes up, well, can a Christian still sin? Yes, absolutely. We are in this flesh and blood. The flesh and blood does not convert. We need to keep our flesh and blood in subjection to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, Paul says about the body of ours and the members of our body, says in 12th chapter of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not being conformed to this world, excuse me, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, our bodies, our flesh and blood did not convert. Therefore, the reality is, if we're disobedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can go back into our old ways. The Bible tells us that when we grieve the Holy Spirit, when we're disobedient, grieving the Holy Spirit when we are not obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also tells us the possibility of quenching that Holy Spirit by abandoning the faith, by abandoning or making excuses that the Spirit of God cannot help me in this area of my life. There's no such thing that the Spirit cannot help you. The Spirit's given unto us for that purpose, that we can be strengthened by it and that we can walk circumspectly with the Lord. God is just and righteous. He has given His Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to be obedient to that Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, and God will richly bless us. There is no temptation that's greater than the power of God. For every temptation, God says, I will provide a way out for you. You know what way that is? Doing the right thing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. That's the way out. Yes, we'll be tempted. Yes, we're going to be tried. Yes, we will be bombarded with temptations. Yes, there's a lot of temptations that are so severe and so potent in our face. Why? Because perhaps we're toying with it. One thing I've learned as a brother in the Lord, and I can venture to say that every brother and sister in the Lord can contest to this, that when we pray to the Lord to keep us away from sin, to shun away and flee, that temptation is not as strong when we pray to the Lord. But when we toy with temptation, then the temptation becomes stronger. And if we're not careful, we will fall into that sin. So the answer is, yes, a believer could sin, but it's no one else's doing but the believer himself. Allowing the little leaven to come in, thinking that this little pleasure is not going to hurt me. I'm strong enough. No. We're never strong enough against our enemy. In fact, we are no match to our enemy at all. Without the Holy Spirit's presence within our heart, we are not a match to our enemy. He's greater than us. He's a lot more powerful than we are, and he's clever, and he's sly. He's conniving. He comes to us in such a way, and he's able to convince. The Bible tells us that if God wouldn't shorten these days that we're living, for the days ahead of us, loved ones are going to be a lot more troublesome and dangerous. My dear brothers and sisters, prepare yourselves, as the Lord is speaking to my heart first, to prepare myself for the days ahead. What we went through the pandemic is nothing to be compared to what's coming next. How does one survive what's coming? Like a tsunami, how does one survive that? Seems almost impossible, but greater is he that is within us than him that is without. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He had his challenges, but he was able to overcome those challenges because why? He submitted himself to the Lord. He knew that the Lord would help him through. We need our souls to be strengthened in the Lord and not allow the leaven, not even a fraction of the leaven, to slowly creep into our lives. The Bible tells us that sin is not only devastating for our spiritual life and it leads us away from God, but it also is blinding. It blinds us that we cannot see. And yet we are called to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is pouring out opportunities to us at workplace, at school, wherever we are, pouring out opportunities for us to evangelize. Evangelize what? What Jesus has done for us. The gospel story. Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. Why is it so hard for us, brothers and sisters, to evangelize? Jesus says, in the scriptures, John says, love not the world and the things of the world. If we love the things of the world, they were enemies against God. Because the things of the world speak contrary to God. But we have been removed from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And God has given us his Holy Spirit. That our motives and our heart and our desires look upward. Paul understood that. If anyone could have boasted, it could have been the Apostle Paul. Intelligent. God gave him wisdom. He was a man that was driven with zeal and desire and boldness until Jesus met him. And then that same zeal, desire, and boldness was switched around. And now he was on that narrow path, worshiping the Lord with boldness. With boldness. But he acknowledged that it's Jesus that is able to give me strength, not me. Not us. It was Jesus that intervened and gave our brothers and our sister that understanding, that knowledge. Why? Because the cords of love are God's word pulling us towards him. When we're pulled by the cords of God's love, we are now approaching into his light. And when we're in his light, we're exposed and we see ourselves as God sees us. And that is what God's will is, that we would see ourselves as God sees us. How does God see us apart from Jesus, his beloved Son? Wretched, poor, and naked. Like that man in that porch, he was helpless and hopeless, had no way out. Until Jesus came to him, will thou be made whole? My dear friend, God loves you so much. You just don't understand it. But the same thing Jesus is saying to you, will thou be made whole? My dear brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord would strengthen our faith in Christ, that we could walk circumspectly, united in one spirit, one heart, in the harmony of love of God. For that is the only way we'll stand the storms that are coming. I pray that the Lord would bless his holy word that we read together. That indeed there would be desire to be baptized in the death of Christ and abandon the old nature. And God has promised you that he will give you a new life in Christ Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing for us. May the Lord help us that we can look towards him for guidance. He has given us his Holy Spirit. May he bless us to have obedience, to be led by that Holy Spirit. And our loved ones here, we urge you, we cry unto the Lord in prayer for you. You don't see the prayers of your parents and your grandparents and brothers and sisters and friends. But I can assure you that the church is praying for you. In fact, we have this wonderful example of our Lord Jesus Christ now, as we speak, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all of us. Without Jesus interceding for us, where would we be? Thanks and praise and honor and glory belongs to him, for he is there for us. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.